Thank you, Brother David. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 23. And if you're able to stand, please stand with me as we read God's Word. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Please remain standing for prayer. Dear God, we just pray that thou would help us to learn from thee this day. And I pray that thou would direct my thoughts and words, that they'd be pleasing to thee, that we could learn something about our responsibility to thee in the face of difficult times. And we definitely do pray for our governments, that they would do right. And we pray, dear God, for ourselves as a body, each individual here, that we would do right by thee in our dear Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, please be seated. So, second, this is part two of By Faith. By faith, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. But as I mentioned earlier, not only were they not afraid of the king's commandment, but they did everything that they could to obey the king's commandment. And just carrying on here from last time, what I was talking about was just what's known today as civil disobedience. We know that we need to obey the laws of the land, and we covered two of those scripture passages. Today we'll try to look at a third one. Let's turn to just while we're talking about that. Let's just recognize that Romans was written during the time when Nero, Emperor Nero, that's Nero Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus, just simply known as Nero. He was the emperor of Rome from AD 54 to AD 68, just when the church was young. Most of the people there would have remembered the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry on this earth. And so because Emperor Nero was accused of having set Rome ablaze, he deflected that accusation. I don't think anybody knows really what happened there, but he tried to deflect that accusation to the Christians because he had seen that Christians were being derided, and they were a hated class, and so he picked on them as a scapegoat and called for torture and execution of many Christians in Rome. And the Apostle Paul was writing this during that time. So what did he write at a time when the laws of the land were much against believers in Christ? Let's just turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. So what did he write? Let every soul, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, the next verse there is a good verse also. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And so we're called to love, not to hate. And so a scripture passage like this puts me in line from time to time, quite often actually, even this morning a little bit. We think of our leaders. We have to recognize that, especially if we're believing that they're maybe leading in a ungodly way, you know, why would God have assigned them that job? Why would God have allowed them to be in that position? Well, I'm even thinking of my own life. I'm thinking of many others too, but my own life is probably adequate as a believer in Christ. Enough reason, I think, for God to send us judgment. Must begin in the house of the Lord. And so some of these things come to help us sober up as believers in Christ. What are we doing? What am I doing in my personal life and in my church life and in my public life? So I'm one that's prone to become publicly engaged. But let's not be doing that kind of thing at the expense of being engaged in God's Word. I'm just thankful that I've been given an opportunity to preach, because then I have to go study, and that's been good for me personally. And it's probably been good for a lot of you to be forbearing sometimes when, what is he talking about? Well, you can be praying to God, and God might reveal something to you, especially if you hear God's Word being read. So let's read some more of God's Word. And so recognize that what we just read here in Romans, the Apostle Paul was writing that during the time that Nero was persecuting and killing a lot of Christians. And so he didn't call for the believers to rise up against the leadership. But I'll tell you, he did very much tell us to pray without ceasing, to pray to God, and God would give us direction. And so in Peter, like not only the Apostle Paul, but Peter in 1 Peter 2. Now, so these are going to be three different passages that are quite important for you to remember. So that was Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And so, I mean, Peter does start out by pointing out verse, you know, this would be part of the conclusion here, but I mean, in a different way, but verse 5, 1 Peter 2, 5 says, ye also as lively stones are built up as a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You know, you're lively stones. You ever think of yourself as being a lively stone? If you're a believer in Christ, that's what Scripture is telling us, that we are not stones in the sense that solid in Christ, the chief cornerstone. We're being built up on the chief cornerstone, but not dead. We're alive, not saved by dead works, but saved by the blood of Christ. And so we are a chosen generation, verse 9, and a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people. Verse 10, a people of God. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. So we were not strangers and pilgrims in a pilgrimage to God. No, you're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. You're either saved or you're lost. So the pilgrimage that we're in is we're a pilgrimage in this world. We're on a pilgrimage in this. We're only pilgrims in this world. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And so we use whatever God has given to us to bring glory to his name and to the edification of the church. And so then starting in the passage that I was referring to is 1 Peter 2:13 through 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so it is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So that honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we find here the Apostle Peter also echoing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we are to honor the king, we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake. And so even many of these leaders that are brought in to bring judgment, if you consider, remember, we've talked a lot about Nebuchadnezzar in the past. I think that's really thrilling. Can you imagine being Hananiah? I always remember their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel, who's his Babylonian name was Belteshazzar. Can you imagine them, what they were doing there? Like, they would have to be to the most of their ability to be obeying, because they are captives. they weren't voters in this. They were captives. And quite thrilling to see what happened to them, both when they asked permission to not have to eat of the king's meat. They asked permission to just be on a vegetarian diet and water, and not the king's meat and wine. And God honored them in that regard, and they were healthier than those during that trial period, than those that had taken the king's meat and the king's wine. And so there they asked permission, and it was granted to them. And so, but when it came time to bow to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had built for himself and said that when you hear that music, all that rock music, you better bow down to worship my image. And they chose not to, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And our God is able to save us from the fiery furnace. And if not, we're still not going to obey, you know. And so they were cast into the fiery furnace, and even the men that threw them into the furnace died because it was so hot. And here, Nebuchadnezzar looks in there, and they're walking around in the midst of the furnace, and they're not touched, they're not burnt. And he says, look, there's even one that looks like the Son of Man. And so he calls them out, and their clothing was not even, it didn't even have the smell of being burnt. God had preserved them, protected them. And then that's when they were young. Much later, probably when Daniel was in his 80s, because remember, they were in captivity for 70 years. And so now, this is after Nebuchadnezzar. This is already in the reign of Darius. Do you remember that statue? It was Babylon, the head of gold, and then the shoulders and arms of silver was the Medes and the Persians. And so here's Darius foolishly signing a document that said that if anybody would pray to any other god than to him, then they would be thrown into the lion's den. And so what did Daniel do? He went, opening his windows as aforetime, and he prayed three times in the day, as he did before. He didn't like, king has done something that is against my religion, so what are some of my practices? Let me start one of these practices up. No, what he had done aforetime, like what he had been used to doing, he just continued doing it because he was honoring God, like he feared God. And he knew the consequences. And the king said he tried everything he could to reverse that law, but he couldn't. And so had him thrown into the lion's den. But he couldn't sleep all night. And he came in the morning, "Oh, Daniel, is thy God able to save thee from the lions?" And Daniel says, "Yes, God shut the mouths of the lions." And so, what a miracle. So God is able to do that. I mean, so in a sense, you can say that Daniel did obey the law because he understood the consequences and he did what he needed to do to fear God. And he willingly took the consequences. And in that case, God shut the mouths of those lions. They were pretty hungry. Those princes that had sought occasion to destroy him, they ended up being thrown into the lion's den. And many of them, their bodies didn't touch the bottom before the lions had already attacked them. And so we can see from these two passages here in Romans and in 1 Peter that God wants us to obey the government authorities that are put over us. And part of that obedience might be a willingness to take the consequences of obeying God rather than man. And then in Titus, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, continues on. And so a shorter passage, but Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, now, mind you, in the first two chapters, he has the order there that in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. So he's calling folks to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And then in verse 4, because in verse 3 he says God our Savior, in verse 4 he says, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So who is the Savior? God. Who is the Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, are there two Saviors? No, Jesus Christ is God, The God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three persons in one God. And it's God's revelation to us in that way. And so the reason I pointed back to chapter 1 and chapter 2 is because the Apostle Paul is really showing us some proper order here that, you know, God is supreme authority. And then he points out that bishops, in verse 7, and elders in verse 5, ordain elders in every city, as I pointed. And then in verse 7, for a bishop must have these qualifications. So leadership in the church. And then within the church, with the leadership, there's a pecking order. I don't know if that's a proper way to say it, but think of it that way. As chapter 2, that the aged men, so chapter 2, verse 2, aged men, what they have a role. Verse 3, aged women. Verse 4, young women. Verse 6, young men. And then to Timothy himself, thyself, in verse 7, be a pattern of good works. And then in verse 9, servants, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. And then for the grace of God, verse 11, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Grace of God hath appeared to all men. Grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So, that is in line with what we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, at the verse 17, where we read, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And that was written by Peter, but it's wonderful to see how the Holy Spirit is one Holy Spirit. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there's consistency, even though the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter were not perfect men. And so those three passages are key passages to remember and to remind ourselves when we become critical of our governments. And I think we have the obligation. Maxim is getting ready for his citizenship, and so some of those questions is talking about the responsibilities as a citizen. So one of our responsibilities in a democracy is to be conscientious voters. Like, we should be aware of the issues and we should vote where we think that it'll be an improvement to the country. We don't want to, we have to recognize that our actions do make a difference in the world. So don't be discouraged in thinking that my vote doesn't count. It does. Your vote can be the deciding factor. Now, what happens when we might be called upon to do something that is contrary to God's teaching, called upon to do something that is evil. Well, there's three kind of general positions, and one is the anarchist view that disobey the government whenever you feel like it. That's the anarchist view. Secondly, there's the extreme patriot that says always follow and obey the government, the country, no matter what the command. And that's not biblical, and we have recent historic evidence of that in the Nuremberg trials. That was not a proper justification for a lot of the authorities. They said, well, I was just following orders for committing genocide. And unfortunately, the genocide that occurred in Rwanda most recently didn't follow that kind of line of reasoning. So things definitely are changing. But so there's that first position, the anarchist position, just disobey whenever you feel like it. That's totally wrong. That's not correct. The extreme patriot position, to follow the country's laws no matter what, that's not biblical. What is biblical is that it's one of submission, submit to the government when we can, with a Christian being allowed to act in civil disobedience to the government if it commands evil, such that it requires a Christian to act in a manner that is contrary to the clear teachings and requirements of God's word. And so we must be willing to take the consequences. And that is something I'm thinking might be lacking right now. When people do, right now in our, we're talking about situations right now in our province, in our cities, in our country. When you as a believer in Christ, you commit civil disobedience, then if you find yourself, for example, you find yourself in jail, and you say, well, that is not possible. Well, you know, if you find yourself in jail, well, then it is possible. You're actually there. And so it doesn't matter what constitutional thing you might be believing in. You may not have recognized the full scope of the consequences, but you certainly would have realized that you want to obey God. And so then sometimes we have to have a clarity in our mind, what is actual obedience to God and what is just our own desires. Now, certainly we're all faced with that, and I think our government has been very fair to us. They've given us fair warning when we did have a case here, and we took steps that they said were appropriate. We had for the quarantine time and even beyond, we had services live on Facebook. We did that twice last year and this year again. And so I was quite happy that our government leaders, gave fair warning and gave, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they asked for permission and they were granted that permission. And so we've been really, I think, fairly treated under the circumstances. But we've also discussed this point that this building is not the church. You as a parent, you have authority over your household, fathers, husbands, you have authority over your household, and you are the priest in your home, in the sense that you're under the authority of God, and so you can worship God in your own homes, and we're allowed some levels of gatherings together, and so wherever we gather, we can gather as believers in Christ. And so I think things have gone well for us, but I'm not offering any specific advice other than fear God. Honor all men. Honor the king. And love the brotherhood. And so part of loving the brotherhood is to recognize that we are all different and have different dispositions, and God has us for different purposes in the body. And we concluded last time's the service, we concluded with that passage in Corinthians. But before we, and we'll conclude again with that, but before we do that, let's just, we started this out by reading that passage in Hebrews 11:23 as our verse for the week, that by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Now, what is a proper child? To one that's born. Duh. I mean, okay. Any of you parents go, oh, that's not a proper child. Oh, somebody guilty of that?
No.
But, you know, in truth, I mean, yes. I mean, because they saw he was a proper child. Now, I mean, I've read some commentary about this that say, oh, he was exceptional. Like he was, you know. Yeah, okay. I mean, I look at those babies. I mean, they're my nephews and nieces. And I look at them, okay, they're all shriveled and whatever. They all look the same when they're like that. And I go, yeah, beautiful, looks just like you, you know. But I mean, they've all grown to be wonderful, wonderful people. And yes, because they saw he was a proper child, yes, and they were not afraid of the king's command. And yet they took pains. I mean, they hid him, and then they put him in the river. And they understood the consequences of it. And I mean, my heart goes out for Miriam.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, think about it, young people. If you saw your, like if you're, okay, girls, like the girls in our midst here. What if you saw your parents put your baby brother into a little basket and put him into the river, and you know there's crocodiles in there? Love the brotherhood.
Amen.
She loved her little baby brother. And she wanted to see what would happen to him. And praise God. Who would have ever guessed? Right?
Amen.
Not just adopted by the king's daughter to become the king's grandchild, but then raised by his very mother and paid to do it. So, you know, now, don't forget that, I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did get thrown into the lion's den. I mean, into the fiery furnace. Daniel did get thrown into the lion's den. Okay, but they were saved, right? Saved out of it. But there have been millions that have not been saved out of it. Okay. And I'm not, and I don't think we should think that that was not appropriate. I think it was appropriate for them. I think of all the many, many Bible-believing Christians in Rwanda that were brutally killed. Did they do the wrong thing? Were they not trusting in God? Why didn't God spare them? Well, God has his reasons. And that really is the case, is that we are killed all the day long. This is not our home. We don't belong. And if they've hated the Lord Jesus Christ, they will hate you. So how are we more special than the Lord Jesus Christ? it's just at those moments where God is doing a great thing, you know, for Nebuchadnezzar, for Darius, for any of these, God will intervene. And so it's wonderful to be to recognize that we can be part of that brotherhood who were martyrs for the faith. But let's make sure that we do all that we can to honor the King and to honor all men. As I mentioned in my prayer, there are some of our friends and neighbors who honestly believe this stuff. They honestly believe that there's a pandemic out there. And we have to have compassion for them. I mean, very similar to some that honestly believe that there's this man-made global warming. We know that we can do things that do some warming, but we know that that's not a
catastrophic failure.
It's not catastrophic failure. I mean, we've given the promise by God. We've read that before, that it's seed time and harvest and hot and cold and summer and winter. Those things will carry on until it's God's appointed time. Like God will bring that to pass. And so we have to have compassion for people who really honestly believe that they're alone in the universe, that we are alone, that we are just happen to be able to talk with one another just by mere chance, you know. You know, that we're different from the animals in that sense. And yet they're thinking we're no different than that. We're just subject to this next asteroid or whatever. Have compassion. So honor all men and honor the King, but fear God.
Amen.
So they did not... They saw that Moses was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the King's commandment. Why did they put the baby in the river? Well, because they did honor the King. They did honor the King, but they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid. They knew that God could care for them, and so God did care for the midwives, as we read before. That they, because they feared God, that God made them houses. And that may refer to, you know, made them families, households. In Joshua chapter 2, we see that Rahab directly disobeyed the orders of King of Jericho, the city that she was in, and she received the spies in peace. We're going to actually see that a little later on in our series here, that she wasn't a woman of faith because she lied. She wasn't a woman of faith because she was a harlot. She was a woman of faith because she received the spies with peace. Now, we can't attribute to God things that lost people do, but in the sense of faith, she was receiving not only the spies in peace, but the God of the spies in peace.
Amen.
And so God knew her heart. Some of her actions may not have been, some of her actions were not appropriate, but the appropriate ones demonstrating her faith was receiving the spies with peace. And she, for that, was redeemed when the city was destroyed by God. She was redeemed out of that because of her faith. 1 Samuel 14, 43 through 45 talks about Saul saying that nobody was to eat until after he won the battle with the Philistines. And so his son Jonathan hadn't heard that command, and he went and ate some honey to refresh himself. And King Saul said, he must be executed. And the people resisted Saul and his command, and they saved Jonathan from being put to death. And so there was civil disobedience. But it was Saul came to his senses and recognized that was very foolish of him to have made that kind of a statement, knowing that some may not have heard that law. Now, that goes into different areas that we don't have time for, but 1 Kings 18, 12 through 13, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, and when Queen Jezebel was killing God's prophets, he took 100 of them and hid them from her. He hid them in caves in 50s, 100 prophets. And it was a clear defiance against the queen's wishes. And yet God honored that. In 2 Kings 11, 1 through 2 and 12 through 16, Athaliah went and killed all the house royal, all the offspring of the king at that time. And when she found out that her son Ahaziah had been killed, and so she wanted to be queen in his place, in the place of her son. However, one of the children was hidden away and preserved, and later on in chapter 11, 12 through 16, 6 years later, Jehoiada gathered men around him and declared that this Joash that had been saved, declared him to be king, and they put Athaliah to death. Now, that's the first case, I think the only, maybe the only case that we see is of insurrection. And so that was quite a dramatic thing where the person who was ruling had killed all the ones that had the rightfully supposed to follow in line. So, and then of course we talked about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then in the New Testament, last time we did discuss one case of Peter saying we must obey God rather than man, but they accepted the results of that. They were put in prison, beaten, put in prison, and many people at different times martyred for their faith, for that type of belief. And yet, we know that God is greater. And so, even though there's no specific direction here from me, one thing we know is that I'm just going to conclude with 3 points. Be informed. Try to be informed of your situation, but don't be so informed that you neglect the Bible. So don't be so much in the news that you're neglecting God's Word, because it's God's Word that will be keeping you from sin. We read that, or we were reading that this morning in Sunday school. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sit against thee. And so make sure that you're in God's word. But, you know, you have a responsibility as a citizen to be informed. And so know the situation and recognize that there's information out there and there's also misinformation. And so don't be sort of addicted to maybe one news outlet or one line of thinking without... It's always nice to see proper debate. You have the present, you know, you give your proposal and then you get the rebuttal and then you have a chance to rebut different proposals. And so I think it's appropriate to see what the other side is thinking, and that might help you to have compassion on them. But so that's first thing, be informed. And I think that's a way to honor all men and to honor the king. Secondly, be walking in the Spirit and be in God's word, much as what I said in the first point. And so I think Mark 13:11, although it was to the Jews at the time, because Christ's ministry was to Israel, but it does apply. most of what Christ preached, taught, applies to all people. And actually it all applies to all people, because even when he was specifically talking about Israel in the last times, it applies to us to recognize that God is faithful. That's the whole point of Israel in the last, during the tribulation period, when we will not be here. But so that in that sense, it doesn't apply to us, but it applies to us in the sense that we can be assured that God is faithful because he's been faithful to Israel. It's the object lesson for us to recognize of God's faithfulness. So Mark 13:11, and he answered and said unto them, I somehow have the wrong path. I've got the wrong verse. Mark. Oh, because that's Matthew. Let's try Mark. Mark 13:11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And so, when we see that perilous times are upon us, let's not premeditate how this is all going to fall out, because we have no idea how God may intervene, and we don't know what's in the heart of the king at the moment, or the heart of the authority at the moment. And so let's just be trusting in God. You know, if you're in God's word, you're walking in the Spirit, you know, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. And so the Holy Ghost will provide that for you. And then finally, love the brotherhood. Be united. And we'll end again here with, mind you, when I'm saying love the brotherhood, be in the brotherhood. Be in the fellowship of believers by understanding that Jesus Christ is the payment for sin. He shed his blood on the cross for you and me. And it's a free gift of salvation. And you receive it by believing. What's the works of God that we can work to have eternal life? This is the works of God, that ye believe in him whom he has sent. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, be in the brotherhood and love the brotherhood and recognize that the brotherhood is made up of a lot of different parts. The body is really interesting. Your own physical body is interesting, isn't it? All your body parts, when you hurt your finger, you stub your toe, your whole body hurts. And so 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 26. 1 Corinthians 12, we'll end with this. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, Where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which ye think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And he goes into discussing when the perfect comes, the word of God, the written word of God comes to us, several of those do fall away. We find that God is the one that builds the body and provides all the things that are necessary for that body. May God bless you, and we just pray that he would help us through what could become quite difficult times. We could never have imagined a year ago that we'd be talking like this here now. So what will the year bring? We can just trust God. You just trust God. I mean, I'm just excited to know that we're part of this global, because we don't even when I was younger, it wasn't possible to have globalism. We just sort of thought globalism was, well, among civilized people, you know. Now it is truly possible to do what the scripture says will happen. And so, without spiritualizing it, right? Literally. Revelations, literally, is about to happen. Anyway, God bless you all. Dear God, we just pray that thou would help us to do right. And it's exciting to know where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. And thy written word is amazing. And of course, because it's from thy Holy Spirit, by the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. And so we just thank thee for all the beautiful ways you've intertwined everything. Your scripture is so concise, like it's pretty small for the vast thing that it describes. And it's all those object lessons that you provide for us. And it's just tremendous. Your way of communicating is just, you are to be honored and glorified and praised in our group, in thy holy church, among all the local bodies around the world, can only praise and honor thee for the way you communicated to us and do communicate. And we thank thee for this and pray that thou would work a blessing even in our midst here, that we could be a praise and honor to thy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.